message from Bob. Did you see the message that Luke was unwell in the night? And yes, did I have anything? So this happened, a worse situation did happen once when I was sitting in a prayer meeting before a New Life meeting many years ago, and I was praying for the speaker. So Paul Hickman was preaching that Sunday. He said, Lord, would you pour out your spirit on Paul this morning? So soon after that, Paul tapped me on the shoulder in the prayer meeting and said, you're preaching, bro. So that was, woo! Find a passage of scripture and off we go. So at least I had a little time to prepare this morning. But I do feel God's given me something for us this morning, particularly like in preparation for this evening. I really encourage people this evening to come along. Mike Betts is sharing. We've called it Keeping in Step with the Spirit. But really, it's if you want more of the Holy Spirit, come along. That's what it should be called. Because, you know, we didn't want our series on the Holy Spirit to be some academic, theological, theoretical thing. We want it to be that we as individuals can go on with God, thirsting and receiving more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So this morning, I wanted to just share a little bit from the life of Stephen in the Bible. And hopefully to make us a little thirsty. So as you listen to what I say about Stephen, think about yourself. Think about the things that Stephen had in his life, the things that were going on with him, and think, does that in any way relate to me? And then we'll see where we go. So Acts 6, it says, verse 8, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Actually, I've gone too far, haven't I? This is what happens when you prepare a talk quickly. Back we go to Acts 6, verse 3. Therefore, brothers and sisters, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. So just to bring you up to speed on the story, the Holy Spirit's been poured out on the day of Pentecost. Thousands of people have become believers, and the apostles are very busy preaching and teaching and ministering to the crowds. But then there's a problem in the church. And what's happened is that there are a lot of widows in the poverty of the situation then, and the Greek widows, in other words, the ones who were from Greece, but they were Jewish, presumably at that time, in Jerusalem, said, we're not being looked after, we're being left out. And so they go to the apostles, and the apostles say, we're too busy we're supposed to be preaching and praying. We're supposed to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, as they called it. So pick out from yourselves seven men. So think in this crowd, right? Pick out. It's interesting they gave it to the people to pick out these people who became known as deacons. They were serving practically. They were given responsibility for practical things in the church. And they said, you choose them. We're not choosing them. Because it would have been kind of obvious who those guys were. And what they were looking for, as they looked out over this big crowd, was seven men of good repute, men with a good reputation, full of the Spirit. So they had to be Spirit-filled, whatever that meant, and full of wisdom, whom we'll appoint to this duty, who they're going to serve tables, they're going to sort out the stuff for these Greek widows. And it says in Acts 6, verse 5, and they chose Stephen. This man, Stephen, right? So he wasn't chosen to preach or anything. He was just chosen to do this administrative task. But they knew that he was full of the Holy Spirit. And what God needs for all of us in the church, whether we're doing practical things, whether we are making the tea, whether we're putting out the chairs, whether we're sending WhatsApp messages to our friends, whatever we are doing, we need to be Spirit-filled people. So they were looking for people full of the Holy Spirit. And Stephen was. He had that qualification. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. So as I go through this, just think how many things he's full of. First of all, he had to be full of wisdom. He had to be full of the Holy Spirit. And now it says he's full of faith and the Holy Spirit. So he really trusted God that God could do amazing things. And the Holy Spirit wants to give us faith. Maybe you're sitting there today thinking, I don't have much faith. Or my faith is kind of, you know, boiled down a bit. Maybe I went to New Day last year and my faith has kind of dropped down. The Bible says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that word of God, is the Greek word means the spoken word of God. And what it means, yes, it could be the Bible, but it's God speaking to me personally. It's like the living, the speaking, that God's speaking to me. And it's as we spend time with God, you know, him speaking to us. There are times in my life when I feel like I'm far away from God. But if I feel I'm reading the Bible and he's speaking to me, I have faith. And it's the Holy Spirit who brings the Bible to life. So we need him for that. We need him to fill us with faith. And then in Acts 6, it goes on, it says, and Stephen, full of grace and power. The Bible says that God gives grace to not special people, not holy people. He gives grace to those in need. He gives grace to needy people. He gives grace to weak people. So this morning when I heard at 7:30 that maybe I might be speaking this morning, panic, I'm weak. But in some ways I've grown to love that situation where you know you can't do it yourself. If we think we can do something, then we're going to be useless with God. He often keeps us weak, and it's not a bad thing because grace comes. Grace is really God's free provision, his providing for everything that we need, whether you're doing your exams at the moment, whether you've got trouble in your job, whether you've got difficult relationships in your family. God has promised to give grace to those in need. So he's full of grace, but not just that, he's full of power. And this is Holy Spirit power, isn't it? Because he was doing great wonders and signs among the people. How many people here this morning have received some degree of healing that they know it came from God rather than the doctors? Yeah, a few people, and there's probably more actually. And even when, you know, it's the doctor in your hospital, I attribute that to God. He gives the wisdom, he gives the skill, he gives the grace to the, you know, to the medics as well. But sometimes it's wonders and it's signs that he does. And we need this, don't we? And as a church, as we seek to reach our community, as we seek to reach our school friends, our university friends, our colleagues, our family, we need wonders. We need signs. We need extraordinary things. That's why it's great when someone comes to the front and shares what God, remarkable thing God has done. It gives us faith, but it's by the Holy Spirit. He's full of grace. He's full of power. He's full of faith. He's full of wisdom. And then in the next verse it says, when he's speaking, they couldn't withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. So suddenly this guy who's supposed to be serving tables, doing admin work, starts preaching with such power that the Pharisees and Sadducees and all the religious people at the time got very upset with him. But they couldn't resist what he was saying because it was by the Holy Spirit. Maybe we feel nervous about sharing with our friends, but when we know it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to share with a friend, we're sitting down like in the cafe with our friends, it's the Holy Spirit who will give us the power for the word. They couldn't resist the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. And then it got so bad as he was bringing the message actually before then even, while he's preaching, Acts 6:15, it says this, gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Anybody know any Christians like that? Angel faces, that they're shining. I have to say, I think of my friend Gerard Long always when I think of this. Always shining. Whatever trouble, whatever tragedy, whatever difficulty, because of his relationship with God. And every morning, I remember Gerard saying it, he gets up in the morning and he lifts up his hand and he says, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit every morning. And he does. And you can see it on his face. And I can see it on some of your faces too. And God wants our faces to shine more and more. But it's by the Holy Spirit. His face was shining like an angel, it says. And then Acts 7, Acts 6 and 7, if you want to read it, it's an amazing story. But he goes all the way through the Old Testament, telling them how much God has loved them and reached out to them and how they've resisted God all the time. So they're getting more and more awkward as they're listening to this and more and more convicted and feeling very uncomfortable with his preaching. And finally, he brings it to like a head. He says, Acts 7:51, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Now, just imagine that Stephen saying that to us here this morning. It's not very nice, is it? Okay, come on, Stephen. You know, yeah, maybe them, but not us. He's saying you always resist the Holy Spirit. And actually, they'd been around for a while. They'd seen signs and wonders. They'd seen that guy raised and leaping about at the Gate Beautiful. They'd seen amazing things, but they still wouldn't accept that this was God. So it's like a message from God to them. The time's up. It's like he was saying, you stiff-necked people, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, the coming of Jesus. This was his message. His message wasn't about them, wasn't about him. His message was about the righteous one that they had crucified on Calvary. He said, they killed those who talked about this coming one. And now you've betrayed him and you've murdered him. Wow. That must have really penetrated their hearts. When Peter gave a similar message, it says they were pierced in their hearts and they repented and believed. But these people, they're not. They're hearing the message, but they're resisting the Holy Spirit instead. And he said, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. So they get very angry. I think I've got an angry picture here. Keep me going with the picture. It says here, now when they heard these things, they were enraged. They ground their teeth at him. They were so angry. They were like, you know, ever heard anybody gnashing their teeth? Maybe you slept in a room with somebody that grinds their teeth. Not very nice sound. Well, they were so angry. They were gnashing their teeth. They were grinding their teeth. But he, it says, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He gives us grace. He gives us power. He gives us faith. He gives us wisdom. And he helps us gaze into heaven. Sometimes that's difficult, isn't it? When you get up in the morning and you think, oh, I need to pray before I go to school, before I go to work. This is hard. But the Holy Spirit enabled him to gaze into heaven. He didn't just look into heaven. He gazed. He spent some time. And what he was seeing was good. I don't know if you can see the picture here. There we are. What was he gazing at? It says, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And he saw the angels. He saw heaven. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us with that. In my personal journey with the Holy Spirit, some of you would have heard a few weeks ago, I was age 17 and somebody came to school, an old guy, an old vicar, and he led me to the Lord. And I didn't really know what I was doing. I knew I was saying, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to be a Christian. But the next morning I woke up and I knew Jesus. And I really knew him. It's like an amazing transformation in my heart. Jesus had become very real to me. And that was the work of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, when he comes, he'll glorify me. He'll take the things that I say and he'll make them real to you. And he made it so real to me that I told all my friends till they were bored to tears. And teachers, any opportunity in the classroom, stick up my hand, cause trouble, and say something, you know, in RE or whatever the lesson was, because something very real had happened in my heart, and I knew Jesus. And that was the work of the Holy Spirit. And then somebody told me that about the gifts of healing and different things. And so I went to this church where my friend, school friend had gone down to, and he'd become a teacher in his gap year. And I went down there, and it was an amazing church. People were coming it was packed. If you got there on Sunday, you had to get there early. Otherwise, there was no spaces. You'd have to be outside. And people came from all over the world to that little church in Somerset. It was amazing. But what, and the first day I was down there, I said to them, could you please pray for me that I may be filled with the Holy Spirit? So they prayed for me, and nothing seemed to happen, really. They talked about speaking tongues, and actually, I did speak in tongues. But in my heart, you know, it wasn't like some amazing thing like happened to me when I first became a Christian. But I did find that afterwards, two things happened. One, when I went back to school and talked to my friends about Jesus, this time, things started to happen, and some of them actually became Christians and gave their lives to the Lord. In fact, one of them texted me yesterday, amazing. So he came along to our little Bible study we had, and somebody read a verse, and in that Bible study, the verse was, Jesus Christ has abolished death. And he went away, and that night he could not sleep. All he could think about was Jesus Christ has abolished death. And he gave his life to Jesus the next day because of the Holy Spirit was at work. And he wants to help us with all this. And the second thing that happened to me was then on the Sunday, I went to the church meeting there. I prayed with the youth leader, but on the Sunday I went to the meeting, and the worship was astonishing, amazing. And the services went on for ages. There wasn't a band. All there was a teenager on the keyboards, and everybody starting the songs, and some of them would go on for, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and people were lost in wonder, love, and praise. And something happened in my heart in that I had a fresh love for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit does that as well. The reason I'm saying this is that we're going to be praying tonight for more of the Holy Spirit, whatever that means, because it's always the journey is going to be different for everybody. So it says, but they cried out loud with a loud voice while Stephen's talking to them and stopped their ears. Can you imagine? And they rushed together, holding their hands over their ears, and they cast him out of the city. They stoned him. And then a really interesting thing happened. By the way, I do sometimes wonder, did he even feel the stones hitting his body? Because they killed him. It must have been excruciatingly painful. But was he so locked into heaven that he didn't even feel anything? We won't know, will we, till we get there ourselves. And the witnesses, it said, the people who are watching, they laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. There's a picture of the... they took him outside the walls of Jerusalem, and that's what they did. They stoned him. And then it says they laid their garments, so they took off their robes and they put them down at the feet of somebody called Saul. Who was Saul? Sorry? Paul. That's right. It was Paul who wrote half the New Testament. And he was responsible for this stoning of Stephen. But because Stephen laid down his life, and you think, what a waste of a life. Why didn't God protect him? But the laying down of his life started something in Paul that led to his incredible conversion and further amazing things as this move of God swept on and on and on. One more thing that he was full of. I wonder whether, as I read this little passage, think about what is the quality here that he was full of. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep. He died. He had a restful end. It says he just fell asleep. But before he did, those words, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. What's the quality that the Holy Spirit has put in his heart? Somebody?
Forgiveness.
Yeah, love he put in his heart. I don't know whether anybody here has a problem with love. I think we all do at different points, don't we? I remember when I used to do the Alpha course, and everybody comes on the Alpha course, and most people think they're good. So you're trying to say you have to be a sinner if you come to Jesus. You have to acknowledge your sin. And people thinking, I'm not a bad person. I've never done anybody any harm. And so often I would try to talk about relationships in the family. So like, talk about Christmas time. What's Christmas like in your family? Does everybody in your family talk to another, to each other? Or has there been a feud in your family? And then you discover that actually there are people in the families that hate one another. And it becomes real, this thing of love, which we all struggle with. Some of us with, you know, our friends in church. Some of us struggle with our friends at school, in our workplace, in our families. We really struggle. And there's nothing worse, is there, than struggling in relationships. But the Holy Spirit, it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, the love of God is poured out within our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So he wants to give us more love. So this evening, if you want to have more love, more grace, more power, more wisdom, more faith, let's come and get more of the Holy Spirit. Just want to finish with one verse, and it's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And it says this. It says, don't get drunk with wine, which will only ruin you, but instead be filled with the Spirit. It's really interesting to me that you get this kind of comparison of wine and the Holy Spirit. And it's not the only place, is it? It says on the day of Pentecost, when they fell out of the upper room and they were speaking in tongues and there were all those people around, they were speaking different languages. And they said, these men are full of new wine. These people are drunk. So Peter gets up and he literally says this, these men are not drunk as it seems, that for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, they can't be drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But there was something about them that seemed like they were drunk. And this is something else about the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to say that the Holy Spirit makes us drunk, because he doesn't. Or that you lose your self-control, because that God will never put us in the point where we can't make choices. But it can be very helpful when we are full of the Holy Spirit. I know a young man who used to go clubbing, and before he went clubbing, he would always get drunk. And so he'd go to the off license, have a few, this, that, and the other, because he kind of needed that in order to cope with the relationships and the stress of this social situation. And the Holy Spirit does that without the hangover. That as we drink of the Holy Spirit, we drink of his love, we enjoy his joy and his peace. It can take away our inhibitions. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. So it's really good to be full of God's love. And so we don't need to get drunk with wine or any other substance. It will only ruin you. Instead, it says, be filled with something better, with the Holy Spirit. And how does that happen? We've been doing it this morning, haven't we? We've been speaking to one another with words of psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. So we get filled with the Spirit as we sing to one another. We're speaking God's word over each other. And then it says, not just speaking, we are singing ourselves the hymns and psalms to the Lord with praise in our hearts in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, making melody with your hearts to the Lord. So if you come in here this morning and you're just thinking, okay, we always sing a few songs and hymns at church, so I'll go through the motions, I'll sing them, I'll sit down. But if you're making melody with your heart and we engage in loving God, in praising him, in worshiping him together. Somebody once said that every time of praise, corporate praise, is an opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's true, but we have to use our hearts. We have to engage our hearts. And then finally it says, and give thanks to for everything to God the Father. Sorry, second to last thing. Give thanks to for everything. Somebody was telling me the other day that they were in their big corporate situation, and they were asked, everyone was asked to kind of share a thought. And so this guy shared his thought on Thanksgiving. And he's a Christian, and so he said how helpful in a really terrible situation. He mentioned that he just thought of three things he could be thankful for. Well, the chief executive of that company, you'd know the name if I told you what it was, said, "That's amazing." And she emailed his thought on Thanksgiving to the whole of the company, because she was so blessed by it. And it was just a Christian sharing gospel truth that Thanksgiving is such an amazing thing. So if you're a grumpy person, a grumbling person, don't expect to be filled with the Spirit. And then finally it says, submit yourselves to one another. If you are difficult with people, if you are awkward with people, if you are resentful, then you're not going to get as filled with the Spirit as you might do. Some of you might remember this from Carroty Wood. Some of you older teenagers, or adults even. This is a receptacle. I'm finishing with this. And this is like us, isn't it? This is you and me. This is our body, all transparent, but you can kind of see what's going on the inside. And do you remember Peter? So just before Pentecost, it says of Peter that Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Well, I think that Peter already had some of the Holy Spirit because they'd been out doing miracles and preaching, but Jesus breathed on them all and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So he got a bit more of the Holy Spirit. But then he said, "Wait in Jerusalem until you are baptized in the Holy Spirit." And that word baptized is used in Greek literature about a boat that is waterlogged. So it gets so much water in it that it sinks. It's completely full. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. So they're there, they've been there for several days. Well, I don't know how many of them was, 120 of them. And they're all together. And Jesus said, "Wait in Jerusalem until you are baptized in the Holy Spirit." And then it says on the day of Pentecost, when they were all together, that there was a mighty rushing wind. And it says, and they were all. So just think of all in this room. This is what God wants. He wants all of us. And so it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they get waterlogged. So it spills, right over the edges. They were filled to overflowing. And they went out on the streets, didn't they? Because they had so much in their hearts. But it says, don't be drunk with wine. And so sometimes, you know, we can't be as filled as God wants us to be because of other things in our lives. Now, the last couple of days, I'm not going to throw these. The last couple of days, I've been thinking about wanting to be more filled with the Spirit. Charity Wood coming up. I'm going to go to Zambia. And I want to, if possible, be useful to God. And I know if I'm filled with me, then I'm not going to be as filled with the Spirit as God wants me to be. So I've been convicted by God about some of the things in my life. And they're really time-wasting things. So I find it very easy to get addicted to apps on my phone. Anybody else want to admit that one? Yeah? And even like innocent things like solitaire or whatever. Now you're going to play it, aren't you? That you can get just, you know, you want to win and win and win. And it just takes up so much time. It's very addictive, some of the things on our phones. So I thought what I would do is I would fast. So I'm not saying that apps are bad. Another thing was that it's very easy to get into box sets, you know, Netflix or Prime. There's so much out there, isn't there? And we could just waste a lot of time just going from one thing to the other. And so I felt that I would just fast for a bit. So again, I'm not saying it's wrong to watch a movie, but for me, I knew in my heart it was taking too big a place, and I wanted to kind of break that so I could enjoy something but not be bound by it. Because when you do, this is what happens. Here we go. I'm going to put it down because someone this morning, I could see them wincing as they heard the stone hitting the bottom of the glass. They were worried it was going to break. So there's my app going in. Here we go, the Prime Video. There it goes. And what's happened is that there's still plenty of the Holy Spirit in there, but actually, I'm not full with the Holy Spirit. And so what's your thing? Anybody want to admit something? I saw one or two nodding. Peter? Amazon shopping. Wow. Yeah, I understand that. It's too easy, isn't it? Okay, in we go. Amazon shopping. Right, I want someone from Ablaze now, because I know teenagers are so honest. What kind of... Just imagine one of your friends like is addicted to something. What might that be? Something that takes up a lot of time. Anybody want to have a go? Doesn't have to be Ablaze. Somebody else? Yeah? Social media. Ooh, in we go. Right. Thank you, Jonathan, for your honesty. And I've got one left. Another bit of honesty. What about a corona? Yeah. World crisis. Yeah. Your mind being occupied by it. Yeah. And that's the news, isn't it? How many people have a problem watching the news? You know, 10 times a day. They do something. What's the point? You know, we could watch the news twice a day, but there's something addictive about it. And it's just trying to get a balance, isn't it, in our lives. And we have to take control. So there we go. Global crises. And actually, ooh, there's not so much the Holy Spirit is there. But the difference between, and I've actually got a little cloth here. The difference, between Stephen and that picture is that he was full of the Holy Spirit. And that's, I believe, what God wants us to be. So, shall we just have a little pray? Sarah, do you want to go? Just got a little time to just think. So important, isn't it, that we don't be just hearers of the word, but God wants us to be doers. He wants us to respond. He wants us to make practical applications of his word. Father, we just pray, Lord, as we just meditate on these things, that you would just put your finger on things in our lives. Thank you, you're so kind, Lord, that you give us the power to break these things in our lives, Lord. Thank you for what Charles Wesley wrote. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the captives free. Thank you, Lord, you don't ask us to give up anything that you don't give us the power to do it, Lord. And what you take away from us, you always give so much more back. But we find that hard to believe, Lord. Thank you that you are a good God. Shall we just stand for a moment? Just thinking of that scripture we read, don't get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. There's two things there. One, God wants us to say no to some things. Doesn't say don't drink, interestingly, but it does say don't get drunk. God wants to bring moderation into our lives. Don't get drunk with wine. Don't be addicted to things that are not me. Sometimes we're addicted to people's approval. That's what Facebook and Instagram's about, isn't it? Very often, spending our lives trying to be approved by people. When you, Jesus, approve of us. Father, you approve of us in your Son, Lord. We want you to replace our insecurities with your security, Lord. Lord Jesus, would you do some replacing this morning, Lord? We offer you our sins for cleansing, Lord. We confess them to you, Lord. We offer you our habits, Lord, for breaking. You would help us, Lord, to break the addictions in our lives. But Father, we know that unless you fill us with something better, we will always go back, like the Bible says, like a dog going back to his vomit. Lord, we will always go back unless you fill us with something better. And thank you, Lord, that you have something better. You have the Holy Spirit. You have your presence, Lord. You have your love, Lord, to fill our hearts with this morning. Father, fill us afresh this day, this moment, Lord, as we gaze upon Jesus, as we look into heaven. Lord, fill our hearts afresh with the Holy Spirit. Touch our hearts with your love, Lord Jesus. Give us a hunger, give us a thirst, where we're hungry for other things, Lord. Make us hungry for your things, Lord. Make us hungry for your purpose. Make us hungry for your presence, Lord. Pray as a church, we will be a spirit-filled church. As individuals, we will be spirit-filled individuals, Lord. Give us your grace, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. We're just going to finish by singing something. And as we do, let's lift up our hands as if to, you know, offer God. You don't have to do this, but if you want to give him the things that, you know, that bind us. And also, like, our hands are like a receptacle. We're receiving from him. We're giving. Put a practical heart in us, Lord. Would you give us practical things to do? Could we all be serving in some way, Lord? That you may fill us more and more with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Keep these things in our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do sit down. We could go on, couldn't we, really? But I know that some people had to pick up their children and get lunch and all that. But yeah, don't rush away. Let's think about what we're saying, we've been saying. And tonight, 7:30, Mike Betts is going to be sharing with us.
Seven.
Sorry, thank you. So you've got the gift, I haven't. At 7 o'clock, Mike's going to be here, and we're going to be, talking about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be praying for one another too, for more of the Holy Spirit. So I really encourage you, if you can come along to that, do. Because this isn't just like Sunday sermons on the Holy Spirit. We're wanting to be more Spirit-filled as individuals, as a church. And if you can't and you'd like prayer this morning, then yeah, Bob and I would be really happy to pray for anybody, or find a friend and pray with one another. But if you just feel this morning, you know, something's touched your heart and you just want someone to pray with you, more than happy to do that. Thank you for listening.